Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
The scripture reading today is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 13. And whenever you pray, Jesus is speaking, whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so they may be heard and seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you're praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. This is the word of the Lord.
So we're talking about what it means to grow in our commitment to Christ and our commitment to Christ's church. And so last week we talked about that specific thing, growing our commitment to Christ, what it meant to have a deeper and more personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And over the next 6 weeks, we're going to be talking about some of the marks of faithful discipleship that really help us understand and live out our faith in our world, in our daily lives. And so today we're going to begin with what is probably the most powerful tool that we have, probably the most significant opportunity that we have to grow in our relationship with Christ. And it's one that is both easy for us to adapt and also very difficult for us to maintain. And that is our prayer life. What does it mean to be connected and committed to God through prayer? So I want to begin with a word of prayer. Gracious God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. I pray your strength with the messenger this morning, that these words be your words, that your good news be proclaimed, received, and responded to. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So I want to ask you a question. Prior to coming to worship this morning, when was the last time you prayed? Did you pray this morning when you woke up or when you had breakfast? Did you pray last night before you went to bed or before last night's meal? When's the last time that you prayed, and how often do you pray? Do you pray on a regular basis? Is it something that you do on a daily basis? Is it something that you do several times a day? Is it something that maybe you only do a few times a week? Is it something you only do when you come to worship? How would you rank your prayer life? How meaningful in your life is prayer? If you were to rank your prayer life on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being prayer has really no meaning for my life, and a 10 being prayer is the most meaningful thing I do in my spiritual life, where would you rank? What number would you give yourself? How would you rank your prayer life? And would you be interested, if you were, say, a 3 or a 4 or a 5, to feel better about your prayer life, to feel like your prayer life was more of an 8 or a 9 or a 10? How do we grow in our prayer life? And so we're talking today about what it means to be committed to Christ through our commitment to prayer. And for some of us, that means that we're going to be praying in worship, that we're going to really attend to prayer when we're here in worship. And for others, it means to learn how to pray in difficult situations, learning how to pray when things are really tough. Or how we can commit to daily prayer, maybe for the first time, to really make a commitment to praying every single day in some kind of meaningful way. Or maybe for others, it's an opportunity to learn how to grow deeper in our faith and learn the power of intercessory prayer, to use our prayer life to bless others and to bring God's power into other people's lives. I want to show you a small video clip from a member of our church, Kurt Roy, who not too long ago had a very profound experience of prayer, and I'd like for us to begin by hearing his story.
This testimony is something that's near and dear to my family's heart. It was a magnificent day. It was a challenging day. But at the end of the day, we felt God's love in a way we had never felt it before. And the day I'm talking about is May 3rd, 2010. See, this is the day that my wife and I received the prenatal diagnosis that our little girl would have Down syndrome. And I received the phone call from the doctor. Upon having the conversation and him giving us the positive result, I found myself driving down Stonebridge Drive, and I was right in front of the church. So I decided to pull in the parking lot, and my intentions were to go to the prayer labyrinth and pray. But before I could get out of the truck, I found myself in tears. And emotions were at a place I'd never been before. I sat there and cried for a good while, and while I was doing so, I went into prayer with God. And of course, my prayer was a lot of whys and hows and is this real? But I was in prayer. And I wanted to talk to somebody. So I called a good friend of mine, one of my college roommates, Zach Smith, and God used him. And Zach prayed with me and listened to me and cried with me. And it was at that point, I didn't realize it then, but I realize it now, it was at that point that God was using prayer, our prayers, to start the process of giving me comfort and hope in this situation. Later that afternoon, I was at home. My son was at home and my wife was at home. We were all trying to grasp what was going on. And I sat in my chair and in really a daze, I was struggling with what I'd heard that day and trying to grasp what this meant for our family. And I'm a feeler, and God knows that. Well, as I sat there in the chair, I was staring out the back windows, and a rain shower came through. And I didn't think much about the rain. But a few minutes later, as I was still staring out the back, some color in the sky caught my attention. So I jumped up and walked out, and as I went out into the backyard, I looked up, and to my surprise, there was a rainbow that started on my neighbor's rooftop and arched over my backyard onto my backyard neighbor's roof. And again, I started to cry. And then that cry, it turned into a laughter. Because at that moment, I knew that God was telling me it's going to be okay. It was as if that rainbow was his arms reaching down and hugging our home and hugging our family. And it was right then and there that I more or less accepted the situation. And I decided it was time to move forward. And I knew God was with us at that point in time. I knew it beforehand, but I really knew it now. And it was right then and there that it was time to take care of this special child. And I share all this with you, not again, because I'm not saying that my prayer life's where it needs to be, but that day, my heart was in it in a way it had never been before. And I guess that's my challenge for all of you. I challenge myself with it every day, is don't get too pretty with your prayers. Don't fill your prayers up with special words. Focus on applying your heart to those prayers, because that's all God wants is our hearts.
Yeah, so maybe not all of us have had such a powerful answer to our prayers in such a profound kind of way. But I wanted you to hear from Kurt, because God didn't answer his prayer by changing the outcome of his daughter's situation. God spoke to Kurt in a way that allowed him to make peace with what the circumstances were and to find strength and comfort in the ways that God would need him to care for his daughter. And so his experience of prayer didn't lead necessarily to the answer that he would have looked for, but it gave him what he needed in order to respond to the circumstances that came his way. You know, I think when we talk about wanting a stronger prayer life, that's something that probably all of us might say we'd like to have, to really have a better and more profound prayer life. And the good news is that's something that all of us can have. We can all have a deeper experience of prayer in our lives. I think sometimes we let discouragement stop us. We don't hear from God in the way that we want to, or we don't get the answer that we think we want, or the one that we think we need, and we get discouraged from God, and we disconnect from God. And something strange happens as we disconnect with God. The further we get away from God, and the more we disconnect with God, the more we start to doubt God's ability to do anything about our situation. It's not that God's power has changed, but that our perception of God's power has. And when we're disconnected with God, we start to doubt God's ability to help us. And then that keeps us from asking for the things that we really need. And so today we're going to talk about how we can have a prayer life that really can sustain us even in the most difficult moments of our lives. And the good news is for that, we don't have to go far to find it. We don't have to go far to find what Jesus said to us about how we can have a prayer life that is meaningful and one that sustains us. If you have a Bible with you or a Bible app on your phone, I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to spend some time here talking about what it means to really pray in a way that Jesus taught us. For Jesus taught his followers to pray. He had this special connection with God. He had this time with God that was special and sacred to him, and he wanted his followers to have it as well. And so in Matthew chapter 6, he starts to outline that for us, beginning in verse 5. He says, "When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by other people. I tell you the truth, they've already received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Jesus tells his followers to pray in secret, to not be like those people who want to make a public display of their prayer life, who want other people to look and see them and see how pious and wonderful and holy they are, and they pray these big prayers so that everybody can see what they're doing. There's nothing wrong with public prayer, and sometimes we are called on to pray in public places on behalf of more people. But Jesus says if you want a really intense prayer life, don't spend all your time praying in the places where people can see you. Instead, spend your time praying in the places where no one can see you. Spend your time with God in secret, and God, you will hear better from God, and God will hear your prayer. There's a great story of Bill Moyers, who worked for President Johnson way back when, and one day the president was, they're getting ready to eat, and the president asked Bill if he would pray before the meal. So they're in the dining room, and Bill starts to pray this prayer, but he was praying very softly, very quietly. And in the middle of the prayer, the president interrupted him and said, "Speak up, Bill, we can't hear you." And Bill says, "Well, I wasn't talking to you, Mr. President." Our prayers are most effective when they're between us and God. They're not for the whole world to hear. They're for God to hear. And it's a special, sacred moment to pray in secret where God can see us and no one else can. And then Jesus says this, "When you pray, don't keep babbling like pagans, for they think they're going to be heard for their many words. Don't be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask." Keep it simple. Speak in words that you know. Don't worry about having, you know, STs and THs at the end of the words and saying a lot of these and thous. That's not what God's interested in. God's interested in what pours out from your heart in a language that comes straight out of your brain. So speak to God as if you were speaking to a friend. Speak to God in your own words with your own style. Keep it simple. It's not about the words. It's about the relationship that we have with God. Jesus, you know, was very clear about, you know, your Father knows what you need before you ask. Any of you parents? And you know what it is sometimes? You know that your kid needs something, but what do? We make them ask for it. Because we're not just going to stand in behind them and just give them everything that they want every time they think they want something. We want them to ask. We want them to be able to understand what it feels like to ask for what they need, to ask for the help that they need. God looks at us the same way. We're God's children. God's crazy about us. God loves us as his own children. But sometimes God wants us to ask the question. Sometimes God wants us, and oftentimes God wants us to humble ourselves and give ourselves over to God and ask for the things that we need. So Jesus then says specifically to his followers, this is how you pray. He begins the prayer with this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The origin of what we call our Lord's Prayer begins here, an invitation to pray to God. And we begin with these words, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That is a way for us to approach God in a way that orients us toward God. It's a way of saying, God, you are holy. This time that I'm about to spend with you is sacred. And we pray to one who is bigger than we are. That's what we're saying when we say that beginning of the prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. God, you are the holy other. You are sacred and special, and I am not you. And I give my time and my attention and my energy to you through this prayer. He says, Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is a way for us to, again, remind ourselves, this is God's world, and we are praying for God's will. These prayers are not just for our own sake. This is a way of, again, reminding ourselves that God is bigger than we are, and that God knows more than we know, and that we're putting ourselves in God's place, in God's presence. And when we say, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, is a way of trusting God with the outcome, of saying, you know, God, you know, what you want may not be what we think is best or what we think we want, but we still trust you with the outcome. This is your world, and your will be done. Give us today our daily bread. Friends, we get to ask for what we need. God invites us through prayer to ask for what we need. And God knows the things that we need. This reference comes straight from the Israelite story in Egypt, where they're in the wilderness after having escaped from Egypt, and God supplies them with bread, manna from heaven, every single day. God invites us to ask for that too, to supply us with the things that we need in order to live. We are allowed to ask. God will supply our needs for nourishment and sustenance and survival. Now, that's not necessarily, you know, that does not necessarily mean that God's going to supply our wants. When we ask for our daily bread, we're not talking about all those extra things that we'd really love to have too. We're really asking for God to supply us with the basics for survival and sustenance and nourishment. We are allowed to ask for those things. But also, pay attention to what it says. Give us today our daily bread. We get to ask for today's needs. God is not often in the habit of giving us things that we're going to need for next year and having us just store them up. Sometimes we learn lessons that we then apply later on, which is one way that God works in us. But God does not often allow us to stockpile material things. God often supplies our need when we need it and not necessarily way in advance. So again, it's a way of reminding ourselves to trust. God will supply me with my daily needs. God will feed me my daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. We use these words interchangeably, debts, sins, trespasses, whatever you want to say in this particular place. This is all about forgiveness. This is all about asking God to forgive us for the places where we have fallen short of God's expectation of us, the places where we have messed up, the places where we know we've committed sin, the places where we know we are indebted to God for something that we could not repay. And so we ask God's forgiveness for the places that we go wrong. And we include with this phrase, as we have forgiven our debtors, as we forgive others. Our forgiveness is assumed in our willingness to forgive others. They are linked together. They are interwoven. We cannot experience God's forgiveness without also being willing to forgive others, to offer our forgiveness and God's forgiveness to others who have wronged us. And that's sometimes a very difficult thing to do, but it's interwoven. This is not one-sided. We can't just say, I will accept God's forgiveness, but I will not forgive someone else. We have to be willing to say, because God forgives me, I then am free to forgive others. Because God loves me, I am free to love others. And then he says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is our primary defense against the forces of evil. Whether you believe in a real devil, or if you just believe that there is evil present in our world, or if you believe that there are forces of distraction out there in the world that try to keep us away from our relationship with God and keep us off track, the primary way they do that is to tempt us to go a different direction than we know God would have us go. So when we say, lead us not into temptation, we're asking God to keep us on the path that leads to Him. Don't get us distracted with all these other things that get in our way. Don't get in the way of our true relationship with God. Keep us from falling into traps or listening to the wrong voices. Keep the forces of evil, the forces of distraction away from us so that we can focus completely on God and where God would have us go. This is a very simple prayer. It's a very basic prayer. It was a prayer that came right out of Jesus' heart, right in his own language, and he offered it to his disciples, and he offers it to us as a gift for how we can connect with God. I want to invite you to consider taking your prayer life deeper and give you an opportunity that you can do this week. At 6:30 on Wednesday evenings, we have a group of people that meet right here at Stonebridge Church for the purpose of prayer. These folks spend time in prayer. They pray for each other. They pray for the needs that we receive in our prayer request. They pray for the church. They pray for our community. And they are inviting anyone and everyone who wants to experience a deeper power of prayer to join them on Wednesday nights at 6:30 to be a part of that. You do not have to pray out loud to be a part of the group. If that's something you're not ready to do or not comfortable with, they're not going to require you to do that. But I think you're going to grow in your relationship to God through prayer by experiencing the ways that other people pray. And if you've ever been prayed for in your life, they'll pray for you if you want to. And if you've ever been prayed for, it's a powerful experience when somebody surrounds you and puts their hands on you and covers you in prayer. So I want to encourage you to be a part of that, 6:30 Wednesday evenings, or find some other way this week that you can really commit to going deeper in prayer. And so I want to encourage you to practice prayer this week and look at different ways that you might pray. I Googled different ways to pray. And I came up, they were all kinds of answers on the internet. Now, the internet's not always the most helpful place for spiritual advice. Just say that up front. But in this particular case, WikiHow had like all these different methods that you might try if you need some kind of rubric or some kind of guide to help you. There's the Acts Prayer, where you form your prayer around words of adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. There's a finger prayer, which every finger is a reminder of someone that you're supposed to be praying for. And no, the middle finger is not the person you think you're supposed to be praying for. There's the cross prayer, which again helps kind of orient our prayers and keep our minds focused on things that are outside beyond ourselves. And there are all kinds of different ways, different methods that you can use to grow deeper in your experience of prayer. And I'm just going to highlight a few of them, and you can explore them however you want this week. You can pray in a group or pray with a friend or a prayer partner. Sometimes that's a great way to grow deeper in your prayer. A prayer journal or a notebook or some kind of letter to God that you keep, and then over time you can see how God has been at work in your prayer life. You can wait on the Lord in some kind of relaxing, meditative kind of prayer posture. You can pray in a language that's given to you by the Holy Spirit. Our Pentecostal friends do this a lot, where God gives them words that they don't even understand themselves, but they just pour forth from them. Our Catholic friends pray the rosary, and that's a way of kind of guiding their prayers along specific things as they go through their prayers. You can read verses from the Psalms. The Psalms, many of the Psalms, were King David's prayers to God. His words were pretty good. We can borrow them and use them as well. If we don't have our own words, use King David's words from the Psalms. Sing a song. Sing a hymn. You can sing while you pray. You're allowed to do that. I mean, prayer is your time with God. Think about the posture of your prayer, whether you're sitting or kneeling or lying down or standing. Eyes open, eyes closed. You know, whether you're walking around or swaying or with or without words, how are you engaged with God? Well, maybe you just have a mind prayer where you're just having a conversation with God in your head, but it's not really out loud, and it's just kind of this conscious conversation with God. Or a contemplative prayer where you're just kind of absorbing the beauty and wonder of God all around us. Or silent prayer where you're just in silent meditation listening for God and waiting on God and asking God to fill you with words or with some kind of peace that you're seeking. or praying constantly, just inviting God into your presence each and every day. So there are lots of how-tos. There are lots of ways that we can practice prayer. But I think that's still the big question that we need to answer is why? Why is it so important that we pray? Why does it matter that we pray? Well, friends, I believe that prayer is the way that God speaks to us. It is the way that God communicates with us more profoundly than any other way that we come into contact with God. That through prayer, we experience what the Bible writers said was a peace which passes all understanding. We experience a peace that we can't explain. When Kurt tells you about what that experience was like praying to God and getting an answer in the moment where he got the diagnosis about his daughter, he can't explain exactly what that felt like. And he can't, bottle it up and sell it to any of us. It's just something that you feel in that moment. It's a peace. It's a presence. It's the power of God in our daily lives. And so I want to encourage you this week to make a commitment to prayer. You've got a commitment card in your worship guide, and we've been asking for your commitment every week, and we're going to continue to ask you for your commitment. We want you to commit to pray this week, to commit to growing in your prayer life, your understanding of what prayer looks like. Somehow, some way, that you'll set aside time every day this week to spend some time with God in prayer in an intentional, proactive kind of way. That maybe you'll surround your family and friends with prayer in ways that you haven't before. Or maybe you'll surround our church or our church leaders or our staff and our people in prayer in ways that you haven't before. Maybe you'll find strength and power and direction to face the week that you've got before you through an experience of prayer. Maybe you'll trust God with your life or with your family or with your job or your finances or your immediate or eternal future through prayer for the first time. Maybe you'll learn to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength and learn to love your neighbor as yourself through prayer this week. Maybe you want to pray for our community and our world to experience the presence of God in a more powerful and more profound way. Maybe you want God to bring revival into our country and into our world and be present and manifest in ways that we've never experienced before. That begins with prayer. Our prayer. There's a great story of an evangelist named Gypsy Smith who lived over a century ago. And Gypsy would preach these revival services all over the country and in America and in England. And people would come from miles around to hear him. He'd preach to thousands and thousands of people when he'd have these revivals. And this group of young men really were interested in what he was saying. And they really wanted to see revival come into the land. And so they waited around for hours for Gypsy to do one of these revival services. And he preached. And then when it was over with, people wanted to talk to him. And so they waited to talk to him. And they finally got their turn. And they said, Gypsy, we love your message. And we want to be a part of it. We want God to bring revival in our land. How can you help us be a part of that? And without missing a beat, Gypsy said to the young men, he said, go back to your homes. And close the door and lock it behind you. Draw a circle on the floor in chalk and stand in that circle and pray. Pray while you're standing in that circle that God would bring revival to everyone inside that circle. For you see, friends, revival, growth, new life, transformation, these all begin with us. And I promise you that if every one of us was committed to prayer and deeply committed to God through our prayer lives, and God was changing us each individually, that God would work something grand in our community and in our world around us. Let's pray together. God, strengthen our faith that we might be open with you and honest with you and pour out ourselves to you through prayer. We do pray, God, that our world might change, that our world might be different, that our world might be better. Help us to remember that the biggest change we can make in the world begins in ourselves. And as we commit to loving you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving our neighbors as ourselves, Lord, through prayer, give us the power to do that. We believe in you. We love you. We live to serve you and to bring out your will. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 in either our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in The Bridge, which offers a contemporary and soulful worship style. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.